Thank you, Mr. Smith. Good Sabbath and happy Holy Day to everybody. It's good to see everyone here and everybody's smiling faces. A wonderful day. Happy Feast of Tabernacles. I'd like to welcome all of our guests and then, of course, those folks who are joining us through the cybercast and the internet. Thank you for joining us today and being a part of services with us. We all have family with us here today from different congregations, from Mansfield and Cambridge, from Youngstown, from Cleveland, North Canton, and a few other locations as well. And it's nice to be able to be together, to worship God, and to be here on this very special holy day. We could also say Happy New Year. This is the beginning of the next year. The Hebrew name for this day is Rosh Hashanah, which means head of the year. We know it as the Feast of Trumpets. It is the first of the holy days in this particular year. It is also called the Day of Awe. And there's a reason for that, and we'll get to that later. According to the Jewish tradition, Rosh Hashanah is a two-day celebration which starts on the first day of the month of Tishri. Tishri is the first month of the Jewish civil year. It is also the seventh month of the ecclesiastical year. It is a day that we really should be planning for, not just planning to be here this day, but looking forward to the meaning of this day and planning for it as well. If you are taking notes and would like to have a title for this, we will title this Planning for the Future Today. Today has a different notable event prophesied to take place as well. Not an event to eventually take place in the future, but is to take place today, September 14th, 2015. According to a blog called the BibleProphecy.org, today, the Feast of Trumpets, in 2015, on September 14th, the rapture is going to occur. But to be fair, the blog states that it's either going to be on the 14th or the 15th, depending on what part of the world you happen to be living in at that particular time. Now, the writer of this blog starts out with a disclaimer. He says, I could be wrong, and I don't want to be accused of being a date setter, but, and he goes on, he actually presents this whole blog, a long article actually, as a summary of the reasons why Christians expect to see the rapture take place on the Feast of Trumpets in this year, Rosh Hashanah. And Christ will return this day as well. Today, Christ is supposed to return today, September 14th, 2015. So that's interesting that both of these things are going to take place at the same time. This blog was written on Friday, November 20th, 2009, and it was titled 2012-2015 Rapture, God's Time Patterns. I'm just going to read a little bit from different parts of the blog. And he starts out, this blog is a summary of what I have been studying for the last year, and I feel God has revealed to me I do have dates based on historical patterns and biblical numbers. However, God has not spoken to me audibly, so I want to emphasize that I may be wrong. It's a nice way to couch what you're prophesying, isn't it? I could be wrong. I do not want to be known as a date setter. Posting this study is an act of faith. The men's group I am in is finishing up a book titled Risk by Kenny Luck. The goal of this study is to wake people up. I have been woken up. It is so easy for America to get caught up in the fast-paced lifestyle that we live. We have goals for work, hobbies, retirement plans, kids, etc., with the majority of our energy sucked into our goals, which can be good, a good thing when balanced. We leave little or no time for God and His desires, which are always great. The scope of this study is to show that God intended this mortal world to last for 6 days or 6,000 years, and there would be one day for 1,000 years of rest, then the millennial reign. Then I will show the results of my study, which indicate to me that the church is raptured, and this is where the contradiction comes in, raptured on Pentecost 2012, Antichrist starts his 3-year hour of time on Feast of Trumpets 2012, and Christ returns on the Feast of Trumpets 2015. Again, I may be wrong on the exact dates, but I believe my study shows there is a good chance of this happening. So, Christ returns today, and that is if the rapture didn't take place in 2012. We see that his prophetic insight was wrong, obviously. The rapture did not happen in 2012. And it's my understanding as I looked into this that his guess was actually modified to this year because of the way different things fall with the calendar. And this year it is scheduled to happen this day, both the rapture and possibly the return of Christ at the same time. Let's look at the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 25, if you would. Still, with all of his timing being off, the fact that the teaching of the rapture is not biblical doctrine, it's not something we believe in, it's actually not a biblical teaching, there is a warning in this for us. We should be aware of what is going on, we should be watching, we should be preparing, and we should be ready for the return of Christ. Matthew 25, and we'll begin in verse 1, and I'll be reading from the Modern King James Version. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. The foolish ones took their lamps, but took no oil. They took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom comes. Go out and meet him." Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps have gone out." But the wise answered, saying, "No, lest there be not enough for us and you. But rather go to those who sell and buy for yourselves." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they who were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterwards, the virgins came also. The other virgins came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Truly I say to you, I do not know you." Now, can you imagine what it would feel like if all of a sudden you like the foolish virgins, got to the door and they couldn't get in? Just think about what the feeling would be, like a sense of lost. There's a loss to it that you get this feeling. I guess you could almost say if you knew you were going to miss your next house payment, there was no second chance you were going to lose your house, and you lost and you didn't make that payment, that loss that you would have. Well, this would be even worse, that the foolish virgins could not enter into the for the marriage. Matthew 25:13. "Therefore, watch, for you do not know either the day or the hour in which the Son of Man comes." There are different ways to watch. Watch current events, signs of the times, history, and prophecy, looking at those different things. When I first saw reading this particular blog, it kind of made me chuckle. So I decided to read through and see what he said. Because part of the reason I decided to also was because we have neighbors who are very strong believers in the rapture. And I wanted to see, because we're always discussing this, and of course they can't change my mind and I'm not able to change their mind. But I wanted to see what was happening with this. So I actually went and I talked to them about this. And of course, they're looking forward to it. But the blog continues with a sense of urgency from this point forward. "We assume we have tomorrow. We put off witnessing. We put off spending time with God. We put off prayer time, and trying to do it all by ourselves. We forget this is just our temporary home." Then there he has in this blog some listings of dates that come right out of prophecy and some of the different things that we've seen as well. And he just kind of lists everything out. And there are several events that are to have taken place on this day as part of showing the importance of this particular day for us, the Feast of Trumpets. And some of them include, as the blog stated, that tradition suggests the world, Adam and Eve, Noah, Jacob, and Abraham were all born on this particular day. Also, that trumpets was the coronation day for kings, and that Jesus may have been born on the Feast of Trumpets as well. The blog listed some names of events assigned to this day that are prophesied to take place or start at the Feast of Trumpets. Some of them are, and we're familiar with these, the time of Jacob's trouble, the day of the awakening blast, the day of judgment, the opening of the books, the wedding of the Messiah, and the coronation of the Messiah. Part of the proof used to show today was to be the day of the rapture and the return of Jesus Christ is that during the year 2014 and 2015, there are four blood moons, and some of you may have heard some of this being discussed in the news, and there are two solar eclipses on Jewish feast days, 2014 and 2015 Passover lunar eclipses, and 2015 Sukkoth also has a lunar eclipse. Nisan 2050 has a solar eclipse, and the Feast of Trumpets 2015 also has a solar eclipse. The last time there were four blood red moons on Jewish holidays or holy days in a two-year span, like this one, was in 1967 and 1968, when Jerusalem was taken back. Then in 1949 and 1950, the year after Israel became a nation, and then in 1493 and 94, the year after Jews were kicked out of Spain. The eclipses are also significant because Joel 2, verse 31, Matthew 24, verse 29, and Revelation 6, verse 12 all talk about the moon turning to blood and the sun darkening when Jesus returns, both the eclipse of this, the sun and the moon and the blood red moon. Job 2, verse 31, the sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the great and awesome day of the Lord. And then in Revelation 6, 12, when he opened the sixth seal, I looked, and behold, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth, and the full moon became like blood. And then Matthew 24, verse 9, immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give off its light. And the stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of the heaven will be shaken. Then will appear in heaven the signs of the Son of Man, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and with great glory. And he will send out his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. There is a caution for us not to take everything that we read lightly, as the world does, and not to take everything that the world says too seriously either, but there has to be a balance. Some who call themselves Christians scoff at all kinds of things that are in the Bible, things like the Feast of Trumpets and the return of Christ. In 2 Peter 3, verses 3 and 4, it reads, "Know this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation." It almost reminds me of that blog, prophesying that we were going to have the rapture and Christ was returning, and it's not going to happen, and they're going to say, when is Christ coming? All things continue the same as they always have. In 2 Timothy 2, verse 15, it reads, "There are instructions for us that we should be aware of, that we are to watch for and prepare for and getting ready for in the return of Christ. So reading 2 Timothy 2, verse 15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. In Acts 17, verse 11, we are told to be like the Bereans who searched the scriptures. And it reads, now these Jews were more noble than those in Thessalonica. They received the word with all eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. Be diligent, on our toes, watching, going through God's word daily. That's what we are to be doing. Going back to the blog, there is in this blog, there is a proposed timeline that he sets up, again, looking at the different prophecies and history as well, that shows that today is when the rapture is going to happen, and of course it didn't in 2012, and also the return of Christ today. It starts with 4,000 B.C., Adam's sin and mortality of 7,000 years begins. Then it lists many different events going down through the Bible and when they took place and the years that they took place. Noah became 600 years old in 2345 B.C., the flood in 2344 B.C., the birth of Abraham in 2052 B.C., as well as Isaac and Jacob, the Exodus in 1462 B.C., and many others. This is from his timeline. It's not that critical that we know exactly what they were, but it is something that we should be watching as we look forward to Christ's return, because these dates do have meanings to them. Coming to our day and to today, then into the future, he continues, September 14th, 2015, the Feast of Trumpets, Jesus returns. The 10 days of awe between the Feast of Trumpets and the Day of Atonement, Armageddon, and that's supposed to take place on September 23rd, 2015. Then Jesus sets up the thousand-year prophetic reign, which runs until Pentecost of 3001. In 3001, Tishri 10, the Jubilee is sounded 7,007 years. This is the 143rd Jubilee. The eighth day, Sukkoth Torah, is God's permanent tabernacle with us. The 144th Jubilee is an eternal one. The sequence of events may be correct, but not necessarily the dates, as he has put them in there. But he finishes this whole long article with, are you ready to meet your Redeemer and Creator? Are you living a life in communion with the God who came to give you life and to give it to you in abundance? His last scripture is John 10, verse 10, and it reads, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come so that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I decided to ask a question of our neighbors who believe in the rapture and what's happening, supposed to happen today. And I told them that I went online and I looked at what might be there about the Feast of Tabernacles. And they understand that we keep the holy days and we go to the feast. And in fact, for years when we did have pets, they would always take care of them and watch our house while we went to the feast. And I told them that I ran across something about the rapture that is to be coming on this Monday, September 14th, 2015, and on the Day of Trumpets and the return of Christ. And when I said that to them, they both got this big smile, and I knew that that's what they believe. And they nodded their heads in agreement, yes. So here is my question, I said to them. What do you, or anyone who believes in this day being the rapture, do to get ready for it? How do you prepare for this? They gave a really quick reply with no pause. They just right away said, get right with the Lord. That was their response. Well, how do you do that? I asked. Just believe. That was their response. Just believe. Get right with the Lord and just believe. That's all you have to do. No active thing to do? Just believe, I asked. Well, you pray, they said, and you believe. And then they had this canned quote, ask, believe, and receive. They were on their way out, so we really didn't talk anymore, and I do intend to get back at some time, maybe by the end of this week, and ask them what happened. Of course, I won't be nasty about it, and I won't be cruel. I'll be nice. But I do intend to talk to them about that. And their answer to me was a bit hollow, and it was very empty, but it was very canned. And, of course, you could tell that that's what they were taught. But what about us? How do we get ready? We don't believe in the rapture, but we do understand and believe in the Feast of Trumpets and its meaning and what's going to take place and about Christ's return. What are we to do as children of God to get ready, to have the oil that we need in our lamps when the bridegroom comes? What do we do different as wise virgins instead of those foolish virgins who, those who don't have the oil that they need are going to be not feeling very good, as you can imagine what that's going to be like. At the return of Christ, it'll be very empty for them. Will we be part of the wise virgins ready? And then how do we do that? It is more than just a hollow platitude to ask, believe, and receive. Let's look at Galatians chapter 5. We were called to be first fruits. We were given tools and by God, or gifts. We receive instructions and we receive training, and we are to be practicing. We are to grow closer to God, and we are to be examples to each other and to others. We are to serve God, and we are to serve each other. Galatians 5, and we'll read verse 13. Galatians 5, verse 13. For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. Love is one of the gifts that we receive, a gift from God, and are to use as tools to prepare to be part of God's kingdom, be part of his family. When and how do we do that? We do it now. We can practice, so to speak, to help folks in need, and it starts at the house of God. As we prepare to help the needy after Christ sets up the kingdom of God here on earth during the millennium, we're going to be working with people who have gone through some real tragic times leading up to the return of Christ as he sets up the kingdom here on earth during the millennium. When those who are still alive, who survived the great tribulation and the devastation that is to come, they will need our help. Part of our growth now is to learn to use the gifts God gives us and to use them appropriately in a timely way at the right, in the right proper events, even to the point that if possible, all of these gifts, all of these fruits that we have will become like second nature to us. We are all well aware of what the different gifts are, that they are listed as the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians 5, verses 22 and 23. They're love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. We have heard many messages over the years and read many articles covering the importance of using all of these gifts. And we will hear more of this as well, because it is a very important aspect for us now as we look forward to the future. We need to take this to the next level, though, not just to say what they are and to be able to explain them. Each of the gifts can stand by itself as we explain what the gift looks like in action. Each is an action step, if you think about that. None of them is a passive, feel-good, couch potato kind of event. Oh, yeah, I love those folks. Oh, yeah, I was kind to them. The great effect each has with the others is that when we are serving and using just one of the gifts that God has given us, the other gifts are automatically involved if we understand what's taking place as well. One example could be when a stressful situation comes up or is building, such as a relationship is affected. words are flying back and forth, tempers are growing perhaps, or there's an anxiousness about an event that's going to be taking place or is taking place. Have we ever seen this? Have we ever gone through this? Absolutely, we all have. Our response and our demeanor can affect the flow of that particular situation and the others that are around and the outcome of that particular event. What do? We pray. God, give me patience and give it to me now. It's our attitude. When showing impatience, our attitude is very important. And it's something that we should be, when we need patience, it's something that we need to have an understanding of and how to apply it, not at the last second say, oops, I need it right now. Our response of a soft word will turn away wrath, and it will be noticed that we are being patient with that loudmouth individual who's causing such a problem. It will also take kindness on our part towards them. And doing that will bring peace to the particular situation. And it also shows self-control, because we could be sucked into that situation very easily. But with self-control, we can be patient and be kind and bring peace to a very volatile event that's taking place. As we continue, there will be a gentleness that is shown in us and in our demeanor, and a sense of goodness towards the others, the other individuals, will be demonstrated, and it'll also show that we have love for others. Love, again, is an action step. Every one of these is an action that we use. Our faithfulness to God's way of life can bring a joyful end to an otherwise destructive situation. Now, I wove all this together quickly, but if you just take the time to think about it, every single gift, when we use it, does bring in the other gifts as well. We can't just be peaceful with somebody and patient with somebody and not care about them and not have love for them and not have compassion for them. That has to all work together. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, all gifts from God. Our job is to use them. How do we do that? Two action steps. First, asking God to help us to focus ahead of time, before the situation comes in, to recognize the situation is developing and ask for guidance and the presence of mind so we can use the fruit of God's Spirit in the way that is pleasing to God and sets the right example to others. And secondly, to learn and practice each of the gifts so it becomes a part of our personality and a part of our character. And to begin to learn, I'm just going to show this here. It's a reprint article from the Good News articles, The Fruit of the Spirit. It's a great way to go back and as an action step to begin to look at all of the different fruits of God's Spirit and make it a part of our life. Because remember, this is only one aspect of putting oil into our lamps. So when the bridegroom comes, we're ready to enter into the kingdom. The use of each of these gifts, the fruits of the Spirit, is doing good. And the bottom line, however you look at it, is that we are to do good. And there's several scriptures. Psalms 37:27 reads, "Turn away from evil and do good, so you shall dwell forever." In Luke 6, verse 35, "But love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great. And you will be sons of the Most High, for He is kind and to the ungrateful and to the evil." In Galatians 6, verse 10, it reads, "So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are in the household of faith." In Hebrews 13, verse 16, "Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifice is pleasing to God." And finally, in 1 Peter 3, verse 11, "Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it." And so much of our doing good is using the gifts that God has given us to benefit others, to be a blessing to others. For a final scripture, let's turn to the book of Matthew. Our efforts to do good, to do what is right, will show to others. From total strangers to acquaintances to our physical family and our family here at church, and most of all, it will show to God as He sees our outward actions, our words, and the display of our attitudes, just as others do as well. Matthew chapter 12, we'll turn there. God knows our thoughts. When service is from the heart, when our service is with self-sacrifice, even others don't see it. God does. When we use the gifts He gave us, others will be blessed. Matthew 12, verses 33 through 37. Make a tree good and its fruit will be good, or make a tree bad and its fruit will be bad. For a tree is recognized by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him, and the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. But I tell you that men will have to give account on the day of judgment for every careless word they have spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned. Today, the Feast of Trumpets, September 14th, 2015, is an important day as we look forward to the return of Jesus Christ and hearing the words, "Well done, good and faithful servant, enter into eternal life."